As COVID numbers have surged throughout the area, a discussion of new measures being undertaken by Albany City Government came up at last week's Common Council meeting in the city, with discussion led by Kelly Kimbrough.
So from our leadership meeting, we did talk about the mayor re-engaging the COVID work at home plan. I believe it was called something along those lines, but some folks are working from home again. City Hall's not shut down like most or some of the other city halls in the area. It's still open, but employees are working from home. The mayor also mentioned that they'd implemented a plan, kind of succession, kind of disaster planning, and what she's done is making an effort to make sure none of her command staff or top department heads are all in one area at the same time. You know, like the commissioners and the deputies, she's keeping them all separate. So in the event of, one gets COVID, it doesn't take down her whole department, which is smart. She mentioned, and I don't have my notes here. Surprise. Jenny, you got your.
I do. Yeah.
Thank you.
She said the buildings were going to remain open, but as Kelly mentioned, within the departments, separation within the departments, so that the command staff of each individual department will not be out if anybody gets sick.
Meanwhile, over at the city's Industrial Development Corporation, CEO Sarah Reganelli, who also serves as president of Capitalize Albany Corporation and CEO of the city's Capital Resource Corporation, raised the issue of pandemic effects on some of the projects that the IDA oversees.
Under compliance update, just of note that we are starting to see the beginnings of proactive requests for pilot amendments due to the impacts of COVID-19. So we are working through with council now to understand our abilities as an agency to entertain those or not. And we're also working with the projects that have started to indicate that they may be considering that to understand what their requests would actually be. We do not have applications in front of us or hard requests at this time, but just a heads up that those are things that are coming down the pipeline. So we may be having a lot of interesting conversations come January.
Are they mostly for delays in newer projects to complete the construction, or is it beyond that?
It's a mixed bag of proactive requests, some based on pending legislation, some based on anticipated financial impacts moving forward. But again, since we have no specifics from any projects at this time, we'll keep you apprised of those and make sure that we're doing as much due diligence on the front end as we can.
Great.
Sarah, regards to that, how is that going to affect, is there any information, any guidelines coming down from the state of how we're going to report, like on Paris for the, the restaurants and other businesses that we've help finance that have been closed or employees are laid off to report that because, it affects, if they hit their employment numbers or not. So have there been any guidelines on how we're supposed to deal with that for the end of the year reports?
That is a great question. And we are ramping up for our annual Paris report process. Already, Virginia's been diving into that and preparing for next year with Andy already for that March report. I have not seen any direct guidance at this time from the authorities budget office or the Office of the State Comptroller. I don't know if, Joe Scott, if you have sort of preemptively either.
No.
So, currently the way we would handle it is similar to previous years as we would go project by project through our active projects across their performance metrics. Jobs is one of them, but also the number of other requirements as part of their documents each project has, we would talk as a group about extenuating circumstances. And if they fell, one, if they had a recapture clause baked into their documents, we would review them based on the level of non-attainment of their goals achieved. And so we would do that in February and March as typical. I will say we will actively be researching to make sure that if there is any direct state guidance, we'll be incorporating that into our reporting procedures as well. But currently, there hasn't been anything.
And if I just may add something to that, Sarah, I really, the issue there, Dominic, is not that it's a bright line test. If a company misses its employment level, it doesn't automatically go into clawback mode. There's a progression of issues that you would look to. I think what this IDA and this IDA staff is very sensitive to and has done a great job in the past on is monitoring and administering projects. And so what you're hearing from Sarah is exactly what we should be doing, which is taking a look at our policies, taking a look at the projects, and making a plan for addressing these issues. You run into problems when you don't administer your problems or your projects, when you don't look at your projects. And so what we're doing is exactly what we should be doing.
Sarah, it's interesting on your timing because I did pick up when I did the review. One of the questions in the application is, do you feel your project is going to be completed on time? Is that something we need to look at to have maybe a subset of answers there, you know, depending on, or, you know, I don't know how to do that. But I don't know if that needs to be adjusted, if that would be, you know, a moving forward kind of addition.
Yeah, that's something, and we'll take a look at the application too. You know, I'm hopeful that at this point we can call, COVID-19 an event that has taken place, and there will be a horizon where we'll stop seeing sort of construction delay impacts due to closures, although we are geared up if closures do happen again, you know, over the next several months to anticipate that. Andy has been going around to each of the active projects to sort of actively engage with them to see where they are on timeline and, you know, make sure that there's an open line of communication so that we can sort of see problems as they arise and be able to help. That's certainly something, that direct point is something that we can talk through active applicants with both at the committee and the board level to make sure that they're sort of thinking about a plan B and, you know, what happens on the construction schedule. We have seen, as you all know, we have seen and approved a couple of extensions to projects that have been approved but not yet closed. That has happened already. I don't believe we have any additional in the pipeline right now, but again, given 2020, we may see additional requests come in. We're tracking that.
Okay. One of the things that I'm seeing, at least in our industry, is the contractors that have their projects are going forward. Now that the rates are going up, some of the construction sites are starting to get more cases of not necessarily cases of COVID, but the quarantine or isolation exposure individually. And as far as getting answers out of New York State, I'm still waiting on answers on reporting when members are isolated or quarantined. Now that the funding has all changed from the beginning rounds, the last two rounds, now everything goes through disability and paid family sick leave. So it changed the application process, and now nobody knows how to report that because they are being paid at full rate during the 2 weeks of isolation, but nobody knows how to get repaid through the federal program as of yet, and nobody knows how to report the workers as they're paying on their income, but are they reporting benefits as such, or are they reporting it as only worked hours? So there's a lot more questions as everybody goes through. So anything we can do proactively would certainly help, and asking as early as possible. Getting a response is difficult at best.
This has been Paul Smart reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.